All right, thank you, folks. My, what a blessing. You know, we sing praises and go to the house of God. Part of our worship of the Lord is praising His name and some of the great old hymns and the songs that we sing. If you listen to the words, they've got a tremendous message in them. I want you to open your Bible this morning to, somewhere here. Let's try Matthew chapter 27. I believe that's where I want to get into. Matthew chapter 27. I want you to cut me a little slack. I was gone over Easter Sunday, and appreciate Brother Parsons and all the staff doing a good job while we were gone. And sometimes, I don't know, we should never slip into this, but sometimes folks seem to think that you only talk about the resurrection on Easter. Well, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, and it's a wonderful truth and a great truth, and I'm going to talk to you probably a little bit about that. I'm going to call it the continuing sign. He didn't just rise from the dead, He is alive. He is still alive. Jesus said the resurrection was one of the great signs. He told He said there's a sinful and adulterous generation that seeketh after a sign, but no sign will be given unto it except the sign of Jonas. And of course that was he said over there in Matthew chapter 12 about verse 40, he said no sign would be given except the sign of Jonas, that Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, though the Son of Man would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so he used the resurrection to the highest religious crowd there was in his day, the elders, the priests, the Sanhedrin, and all of them, and he told them that would be the sign. I want to tell you something. We don't need another sign. That was still it. He's still alive today. I want you, though, to go with me this morning to Matthew chapter 27 as we get around the time of the resurrection of Christ. We're going to pick it up in about verse 50, and we're going to read just a few verses. Often this is kind of neglected. It's kind of mysterious. Don't know a lot about it. But here it is in Matthew chapter 27. Pick it up in verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He's on the cross now, verse 50. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And he came out of the graves, after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Now that Roman centurion there made a confession that he believed that Jesus was the Son of God. He saw all those things, the earthquake, the rocks rent, the veil of the temple, all that took place. And it took place at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we look around today. And somebody was telling me this morning about the local paper here. Somebody, I guess, wrote into it or something. I haven't seen it yet. Wrote in basically blaspheming, mocking homosexuals or whatever, mocking God. I was on a trip, of course, these last couple of weeks, preaching up in the Chicago area and places. And one signboard on the side of the road said, Jesus Christ, fake news. I got news for you. There's a lot of folks going to face God in judgment that's got some regrets. It's going to be a sad time. It's going to be a shocking time. It's going to be a big shock when they face Him because He's not dead. He's alive. He's alive. You know, many people, I see where one of the many that's running for the Democratic presidential spot, 20 of them, however many there are, one of them is saying the trouble with Venezuela is all America's fault. And all the other troubles in the world is all America's fault. What you got today is you got a lot of folks against the old-time godly values that made America, and they're fussing and blaming everything else in the world and making all the promises of socialism and all of that business. But I did appreciate the president this week on the day of prayer saying you can say God again and not be ashamed of it. And if it was Christmas, you could say Merry Christmas without getting in trouble and not having to say Happy Holidays and all that kind of stuff. But I want to say to you just a little bit about this thing today. And that is that the Lord Jesus' resurrection was a fact. It was real. He lives. He sits at the right hand of the Father today. And all the crowd that's against him is going to one day face him because he lives. Acts chapter 17 says that God is ordained to judge the world by him, and he's proved it by raising him from the dead. We aren't just talking about something mythical, folks. We're talking about something real. Very real. I got to thinking about it a little bit this week, and I remembered about 12 years ago, maybe 14, I did some investigation on some stuff I'd heard a rumor about and began to dig way back in history. And somebody said, all that men learn from history is that men don't learn from history. And if we would get a hold of some of the past, we think some things. You know, today the school kids and others and colleges and others are taught that religion is just the idea of people. And they're taught against the things of God, and they mock God as the creator and all of that. But the truth is, we're not talking about a fairy tale. We're talking about something very real and very provable. Somebody says, well, you think Jesus rose from the dead, only the Bible tells you that. No, no, no. There's much more than that. The truth is, even nature itself, we're in springtime now. I hope you've noticed that. And that's a testimony itself that life comes again from that looks like it's dead. And we see it as it blossoms out and springs out and all of that business. But I want us to think about something a little bit. I thought about it. I thought about it this week, and I've got to spend a little more time reinvestigating something I studied out years ago. But the truth is that history has some tremendous witness for the resurrection of Jesus other than the Bible. Now, that might not mean much to you, but it does to me. I don't need it to prove it. I just need it to say it authenticates it. And the fact is that a lot of folks, if they think they're so smart, and they don't even know all that is out there as a testimony to all the things of God being true. There's a fellow by the name of Quadratus. He was a fellow that preached around about 100 years around the beginning of the church. And I just read you a text here that when Jesus came out of the grave, others came out. We don't know a whole lot about that, but they walked around, as it were, in the city of Jerusalem. And this fellow gives a testimony that during the time that he was preaching, that some of those folks that came out of the tomb with Jesus, not the same tomb, but came out at the resurrection, were still alive. Many of you Bible students ought to know the name Irenaeus. Irenaeus was one of the early church fathers, and he said at his time that there were still two or three people that had risen with Jesus at the time of the resurrection that were still alive. Now, I'll tell you, that's written in the great documents of our history. You can look it up. You can find it. That was their testimony at that particular time. I want to move on a little bit just to say this, that the resurrection was predicted before it happened. Man, that's a powerful witness. If you were to go back with me right now to the Old Testament, all the way back to the book of Isaiah, you can look in Isaiah chapter 26. College students, let me say this to you. The last three verses of Isaiah chapter 26 has a prediction. Now remember, this is the Old Testament. This is the Old Testament, but it's going to take place in the New Testament. But in Isaiah 26, verse 19, 20, and 21 gives you the outline of what is yet ahead to happen. You could put it under three R's. You can put it under the resurrection. You can put it under the word rapture. And you can put down the word rain. All three are R's. Listen to me as I read these verses. Here's the prediction. Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. That's talking about resurrection. Verse 20, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Here's the rapture. You know what's about to happen? The trumpet's going to sound. God's people are going to be caught up. They're going to put away for a little while, hid away for a little while the tribulation period, the great time of trouble on earth is going to come for about 7 years. And you and I are going to be caught up around the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. And we're going to be raptured up. And then we're coming back in verse 21. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. For the iniquity of the earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. You got the resurrection. Could happen any moment. After the resurrection, we're going to be closed away with the Lord in his chambers for a little bit. Then we're going to reign with him back on earth. See, all that was predicted. The resurrection was no surprise. It was already predicted. It should have been looked for. And the prediction of it here is very, very, very real. And I said to you that the Lord predicted it while he was on earth. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. He wasn't talking about the physical temple. He was talking about his body. And he did it just like he said he would. I was talking in Sunday school this morning. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ was proven because he came out of the grave like that he said. He was God incarnate in the flesh. They tried to kill him, but he wouldn't stay dead. He came out, and you and I have a living Savior. It's no hoax. It's not fake news. It's not some crowd out here mocking the Lord. They show their ignorance. They don't even know. Let me go a little further, and this might not mean much to you, but I kind of enjoy it. I said I made an investigation a number of years ago. I'm thinking a dozen years ago anyway, on the outside proofs of the resurrection. I can't take time to get into it too deep, but most of you know about the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire studied through history and studied in the colleges and so forth. The Roman Empire, we copy it today in our government. We still have a Senate like Rome had. We have much of the things of the government. And they were very meticulous when it came to their records, when it came to their laws, and all of that. And it was under Rome. Rome was in power. They ruled over the Jews, but the Jews had their rights in their own religion during the time that Jesus was on planet Earth. And here's a fact that a lot of folks don't know. The records of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was put in the Roman government files. At the time, I want to tell you something, they're still there. And if you want to go to the expense, you can go get a copy of them right out of Washington, D.C., out of the Congressional Library. You see, two preachers back in about 1870, maybe 87, they at their own expense, went over and dug through the Vatican Library, dug through the library at Constantinople, and come up with the Roman records that was placed in there at the time of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You might not know it, but Pilate was called on the carpet for his part in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Not only was he called on the carpet, but Herod, who had John the Baptist's head cut off, he was called before the Roman Senate and had to answer for that. And all of that is on record and in file still in those big libraries. And two preachers back in those days I'm talking about, they went over there, they got the records, they paid the money, they did the investigation. And when they came back to America, they took it to our Congress and got the Congress to vote to receive it and put it in the Congressional Library. The records outside the Bible that he arose on the third day. It runs, I've read them. The parallel is almost with your Bible. You'd hardly see any difference in reading the story out of those records and reading it from the Word of God. Now I want to say to you, it's no fable. It's no myth. It's not hearsay. Jesus rose from the dead. He proved who he was as the Son of God. And as the Son of God, because he lives, we're going to face him again one day at his return and one day at the judgment. I got a hold of that suspicion. So at the time, Sister Carrie Castleman was one of our secretaries. And some of you remember she worked on it, got in touch with the library in Congressional Library in Washington, D.C. And we went back and forth over the phone and over the computer and all that for several days. And I wanted to know if it was a fact that our Congress had a copy of those records that was under the Roman government, that was in Constantinople and in the Vatican. Did we actually have a copy? Had these preachers that said they put it in there had actually done it? And there it was. And I just wanted to be sure. And guess what? We found out it was there. I wanted a copy of it, but they wanted $500 at least, and I felt led not to get it. Truth is, I wish I had them now. Some of you rich college students ought to do that. That would be a great project for you. Just go ahead and work on it till you get it. Amen? All right, I'm joking with them a little bit, but I want to tell you something. We don't need more than the Bible, but it's wonderful to know it's there. And all this intellectual crowd that's attacking God and mocking God and say it's all fake, they don't know what they're talking about. They ought to nail their tongue to a post and walk off. I mean, they're brain dead. That's all there is to it. We serve a living Savior. He arose as he said he would. If he arose as he said he would, he's coming back as he said he would. You know what? It's not just church every Sunday and just this and just routine and just old stuff. It's all real that we're talking to you about. We have a living Savior that is knowing about us, that died for our sins, that understands about us, everything feels for us, and one day we're going to stand before him because he lives. I think we forget that just a little bit sometime. We see the proof of the resurrection. I read some of those things, so interesting. Some extra little things in there that you don't read in the Bible. Maybe true, maybe not, since the Bible don't back it up. But the Bible backs up almost all of it, and none of it contradicts. None of it. They actually claim, Brother Parsons, that in the record, it's written in the record, that Caiaphas, the high priest that condemned Jesus, Caiaphas there that accused Jesus of blasphemy, the high priest, it is in the records. In the records that the Sanhedrin, he had to report to the Sanhedrin. You know who they were. They were the 70 elders of Israel. They were the ruling over the religion. They were the top and almost all the affairs. And the Sanhedrin brought him, the high priest, before them to explain all the gossip and rumors and talk that he'd risen from the dead. It's even said in that record that Peter and John, the disciples, was brought in and testified also before the Sanhedrin. Now, that's not in your Bible, but it may have happened, and it's on record that it did happen. And the interesting thing was that Caiaphas, the high priest, told how afraid he was that Jesus was going to show up and confront him after the resurrection, and he claims that he did. That's in the record. That's not in your Bible, but it's in the record. I'm talking to you folks that when you come to church like this and you hear the Bible and we talk about the wonderful truths we have concerning Jesus Christ, there is more to it than you think. And there's a whole world out there that's mocking God, that's one day going to face him because he lives and he is living to not only be their Savior now if they'll let him, but he's going to be their judge if they reject him. Yeah, the proof of the resurrection is very available. Very available. Here recently they had the fire, the Notre Dame building. Cathedral of Notre Dame burned down, and the world got upset about that, and that's fine. But you understand what that building was inspired by? It was inspired by Jesus Christ. All the art, all of it, and the whole world here began to come together and raise a great amount of money to rebuild it, and all of that is fine. But I want to say to you, if he didn't live, where did all the inspiration for all the art and all the cathedrals and all the building come? He does live, and that's why those places have been so inspired. You know, I was over in Russia a couple of times. Somebody asked me about that this morning. We had Alicia here Wednesday night singing for us. It was so good to see her. She was just a young child, really, when we were over there first time. But when we was in Russia, we went to Moscow and St. Petersburg and so forth. And when we was in St. Petersburg, I was driving in the car with the Underground Baptist Church group. And we were driving down in St. Petersburg, that great big city. And there's a building right there on the river. It's tremendous to see. I mean, it's like the Notre Dame Cathedral, even bigger than that. And as we were driving down there, I got excited because right outside the building, there was a statue of a great big old horse made out of brass with a rider on it. And of course, it was representing Peter the Great. But under the horse's hoofs was a great big brass serpent, a snake, if you please, that you read about in the book of Revelation, the old serpent, the dragon. And here was what the image was, and the message was, that the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is trampling Satan, the serpent, under his hooves. I got excited. I said, hey, y'all see that? You know what that represents? And of course, those Underground Baptists over there, pretty deep in their Bible, they looked at me. Yeah, you dummy, we know what it means. Do you know the whole world has the message? They have it not only on paper, they have it in art form, they have it in statues, they have it in all kind of ways, getting the message out. God has not left himself without a witness. And this whole world has been inspired by Jesus Christ in buildings and in art and in paintings and in books and in songs and in music. I want to say to you, we're talking to you about something real that's coming to a conclusion here near the end. You know, the proof of the resurrection is everywhere. The promise of the resurrection, how wonderful it is. You know what that promise is? It's you could see your loved ones again. That death don't win. You're not separated forever from that mama, dad. If they knew the Lord Jesus Christ and you know him, you're going to be back with them one day. Can you imagine how sweet and how good that is? Can you imagine over in John 11 when Lazarus was in the tomb and they said, Lord, you're late. He's been dead 4 days, but he called Lazarus forth. Can you imagine the joy those sisters had for brother to come out and be alive again? What if you could this morning walk 2 blocks that way to the cemetery and stand in front of that loved one's tombstone and call them out? Do you understand what the resurrection is going to mean when Jesus comes back? I'm going to see mom and dad again. I'm going to see so many church members through the years that I've seen go under the ground over there. But the resurrection means they're going to live again because they knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the promise of the resurrection is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'm thinking about a lady I saw on the news. They had told her baby was dead. And when she went to look at the baby in the casket, she screamed and she said, that's not my baby. No, her baby was still alive. There'd been a mix-up. Can you imagine the joy of the resurrection? Can you really? In World War I and II, it happened more than one time that a soldier boy was reported dead to his family and later knocked on their door. What a time that must have been. What a time it's going to be when Jesus comes back and we see our loved ones again. You know, Brother Chitty, our missionary, where is it, Arizona? Mexico, that's right, New Mexico, I guess it is. Brother Chitty was in the helicopter in the body bag coming in from the battlefield. They said he was dead. They were beginning to notify his family. But the helicopter pilot looked around and there was a movement in the bag. And Brother Chitty's preached from this pulpit. God brought him back, as it were. Can you understand what the resurrection really means? We're going to see our loved ones again. That's the power of the resurrection. You know, the power of the resurrection, you think about it. They put a Roman seal on that tomb. They said, better not open this seal. You'll be in trouble with the government. But the angel didn't bother with that, did he? He didn't have to get a permit to open the tomb. Praise God. Those Roman guards, I guarantee you, they didn't try to stop no angel from moving the stones, show folks he wasn't in there, did they? No, old King Death didn't rule on that day, and he's not going to rule on the day the trumpet sounds. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we that are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the air. We're not talking to you about a bed story. We're not talking about a fable or a fairy tale. We're talking about something that is very, very real. And to be here today, to live in this world 10 years or 100 years and reject Jesus Christ, rejects all hope you ever have of having eternal life on the other side and having the victory over death. My, my. Old King Death rules from Adam right on in this old world, it seems like. You know, if you go to Genesis chapter 5, it'll say something like this in chapter 5, verse 1. It'll say, this is the generations, with an S on it, of Adam. And then if you begin to read through the book of Genesis, it'll say he lived so many years and he died. He lived 1,000 years, maybe, but he died. He lived 930 years, but he died. But he died. But he died. But when you get to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it says, this is the generation with no S on it of Jesus Christ. What's the difference? The generations of Adam, they die, they die, they die. The generation of Jesus Christ, no death. He conquered death. The generation of Jesus Christ is one generation. No plural, no S on it. And that's what you have if you have, you live in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first Adam, you die. In the second Adam, you're resurrected with him. You know, that's the wonderful truth. The power of the resurrection supersedes anything that man has ever known. They can't get people to believe today that we happen by accident. We have a creator. I've heard this, of course I haven't tried it, but I've heard that science can make an egg that looks like an egg, a hen egg. They claim you can even put it in a pan and cook it and eat it and think you've eaten an egg. But it's not a real egg, and the way you know it's not a real egg is you can put it on the old setting hen, it'll never hatch out in life. No life in it. No life. Only God can give life. And only God can give eternal life. And only God can give life over death. And that's what we have in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Old King Death ruled from Adam on, but he rules no more. I think about the little boy that was on the street around Easter time, and he was looking in the window at a picture an artist had painted. He'd done a painting of the crucifixion of Christ. The little boy was standing looking in the glass window, and a man walked upside of him and just stood there quietly, both of them looking at the picture. The little boy began to talk out, and he said this. He said, Mister said he was a good man. Said they shouldn't have done him that way. Said he never done anybody any harm. He only done good. He caused blind people to see and crippled people to walk. And he fed the poor, and Mister, he just didn't do anybody any harm. They shouldn't have done it, but they crucified him. They killed him. And Mister, they put him in a tomb, and he just stood there looking. The man began to walk off down the street, and he heard some feet coming behind him. The little boy ran behind him and called up to him and said, wait a minute, Mister, the most important thing is he didn't stay dead. He came out. That's still the most important thing today. No, somebody's written a song about it. We sing it quite often around Easter time. We sing about, he tore the bars away. The grave couldn't hold him. And all of that is a wonderful truth. Old Satan may have thought he won, but he found out he lost. Somebody said probably in the time of the resurrection that Satan was laughing in glee. But all of a sudden, he hears some footsteps coming down the corridor of hell, because Jesus tore the bars away. And he probably heard Jesus as he cried out, Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead. But behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. That's my Savior today. I just felt like running over this again because I wasn't here on Easter, and I just wanted to say something about it. I want to say to you, the world today, if they would take the truth and get it out, they could solve the world's problems. Jesus is the answer. He lives. He right now lives at the right hand of the Father. He's interested right now in what you think about him. Do you accept him? Do you object him? Do you believe on him? Do you not believe on him? Most important thing right now, it's what kind of message are you sending to him? His message has gotten out. It's not only in his Bible. It's not only on the records of government. Not only in the experience of all mankind. He's real. He wants to be real to you this morning. If you don't know him as Savior, now's the time you can know him. Death is going to catch up with us if he don't come first. But it'll be all right if you come to Jesus first. Death will be a defeated foe. And the resurrection, he says, because I live, ye shall live also. And that's the hope. I hope you have that in your heart today. Let's bow our heads, please. With our heads bowed, how many of you can say and answer this question for me? Preacher, I know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. Can you say that with the uplifted hand? Yes, that's my story, preacher. I believe on the Lord Jesus. He's my Savior. Because he lives, one day I'll live. Can you say that for sure? Thank you. May put them down. Look like every hand. But God looks past hands. He looks on hearts. And how many of you here say, preacher, I've never received Christ. I've been to church a lot. I had a Christian family. I know the story and I know it's true, but I've never received him. Would you say, preacher, when you pray, have me in mind. I need to be saved. Would you slip that hand up for prayer right now in the building, somewhere, anywhere? Would you do it? Oh, the world's dividing up. It's choosing sides right now. There are those that'll put something on a bulletin board or signboard or newspaper blaspheming God. Oh, how foolish, how foolish. It's a living God they're talking about. How foolish. World's choosing sides. Which side are you on? Which choice have you made? He's the living Savior. Right today, he stands with his arms outstretched, and the scripture says that Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. You can come to him. He won't cast you out. He'll write your name in heaven's book. Would you let him do it? I pray you would. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I just felt led again this morning, and I got to thinking about not only your word, but Father, you've authenticated the truth of the resurrection of the living Savior. It's in black and white. It's in big buildings. It's in great libraries. The world will have no excuse to stand in unbelief before you, to stand before a living Savior. Father, I pray today in this auditorium, in this building, for anyone that's never received Christ, that they'd step out and see how real it is when they come to church and hear about Jesus and the preacher invites them to be saved, to come to Christ, how real it is. I pray for them this moment, this very moment. And Father, as we sing a song and give a verse of invitation, I pray they'd come and receive Christ this morning. Thank you, Father, that we serve a living Savior that's coming back for us soon. We pray you'd bless this invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're saying, I'll step to the front. Will you receive Christ? Will you meet me here? We're not talking about a fairy tale, something very real this morning. Your soul is in the balance. Would you come? Just as